yeah, certainly missed home, sun, beach, family, wide open spaces. I mean, I'd get out and try and go for a walk or run along the Hudson to try and get a fresh air because, you know, concrete jungle gets pretty sweltering in the middle of summer too. So, yeah, craved a bit of some trees and an open air, and I've tried to get out about as much as I could, but it's not quite on your doorstep like it is back here.
Welcome back to the Adelaide Connected podcast,
brought to you by the Committee for Adelaide.
We chat to passionate boomerangs and arrows about why they have chosen Adelaide, South Australia, as their home to live and work.
Boomerangs are people who are originally from South Australia, who have moved abroad and have now returned.
And arrows are people who are from interstate or overseas who have chosen to make South Australia as their new home.
We are your new hosts, Naomi Marsh and Ali Chatburn, and we can't wait to sit down with passionate Adelaideans
about why they choose to live, work and play in SA. Welcome back to the Adelaide Connected podcast. Today we are thrilled to have Patrick Clifton in the studio. Patrick is the Chief Operating Officer of the Adelaide Football Club and is what we term a boomerang, someone who was originally from South Australia, moved abroad and has now returned. Patrick has had a very interesting career to date, which has taken him to Melbourne and the USA. He has held several positions with the AFL, including Head of Health, Safety and Laws, before scoring a job with the NBA in New York, where he progressed from Associate Vice President to Vice President, Player Health and Performance. After a number of years abroad, Patrick was lured back to Adelaide in April 2023 as COO with the Crows, and we look forward to learning more about his journey.
Hi, Patrick. Welcome to the Adelaide Connected podcast. It's great to have you in the studio.
No, thanks very much for the invitation. Have me in.
You're originally from Adelaide, studied at the University of Adelaide. Tell us about your early career and what propelled you to move to Melbourne.
So without making it too much of a long-winded yarn, I was pretty indecisive. I ended up studying mechanical engineering and law, just couldn't choose between the two, which is a pretty unnatural 6.5 year sort of epic double degree, and got to the end of it. And again, wasn't particularly enamored with the defence jobs and the building services jobs, which were kind of like sort of the standard path at the time, and was at a bit of a loss. So actually went through the flight screening process to become an Air Force pilot, went through, 15 hours of flying, went up to Tamworth for a couple of weeks, which is an amazing experience. Would love to do some more flying. And it was an 11.5 year contract, and had it in front of me and decided I just couldn't sign up for that period of time at 22, 23 years old. So I was definitely a bit of a loss, and spent a fair bit of time before that playing sport, not particularly well, dabbled in tennis, soccer, golf, running, et cetera, and was never going anywhere with it, but really keen in sports. So I actually just genuinely Googled sports and engineering.
Yep.
And this little fringe research association came up, which was based in Melbourne. In fact, the head was the professor at RMIT. So I cold emailed him and said, hey, I'm interested in sports and engineering, just a recent graduate. And he said, well, I've got a PhD going in snowboards, which is one of the sports that I did kind of dabble in. And so 2 or 3 months later, I packed everything up and had accepted a PhD and wandered over to Melbourne and finished my law degree kind of remotely, sort of fly back once every 6 or 12 months and sit some exams at Uni Adelaide to finish the law degree.
Wow. And did you say PhD in snowboarding?
Correct. Yeah, that is what I said. PhD in snowboard design. I was certainly not a professional boarder, but right. it was a greenfield. As you know, with PhDs, it's usually focused on a very specific niche area. And fortunately, it was a greenfield. It was the second, from what I could find anyway, the second PhD done on snowboard tech and design. Whereas now, sports technology, engineering, analytics is a huge industry, massive market cap. So I got in pretty early, and I had sort of carte blanche to do what I wanted. So spent a few years doing a bit of snowboarding, working with some brands, and came up with computer models and a few other kind of nerd engineering things to finish the PhD.
Fantastic. Okay, so that was in Melbourne.
Yep.
You obviously dabbled in snowboarding,
yep,
and then you transitioned into AFL. How
correct. Did that come about? So again, got to the end of the PhD and the options on the table, the jobs were mainly in the US and Europe. And at the time, self and partner thought probably not the right time to explore an overseas move just yet. So given the industry wasn't well established in Australia, I kind of pivoted and transitioned to sports analytics. And there was some work going at the time at the AFL, analysing the laws of the game, a lot of stats clearly in AFL football. So I ended up chatting to the GM of football at the time, Adrian Anderson, and got a couple of days of work on a consulting basis in the football operations department, and kind of went from there, went from 1 day, 2 days a week, and then turned into a full-time job and spent sort of 10 years almost. It was about 9.5 years at the AFL. So it's, yeah, where I've spent the longest, I guess, thus far from a career point of view, and got some really good friends, really brilliant people, that a lot of which remain there. I'm still friends with to this day. So it was a great experience, and ended up working in a whole variety of areas across medico-legal, football, tech. I kind of dabbled in a bunch of things, and it was a really good time to work at the AFL.
Great.
Yeah, wonderful. Would have been, a fascinating experience. And 10 years, like you said, I'm sure you've, done it all, done it all there. How then did the move to the US come about? What was it like working with the NBA? As a sport-loving lad from SA, that would have been a pretty amazing experience, I imagine.
It was. So we had, in that medico-legal sort of research health space, which I was kind of heading up with our medical director, we engaged a lot with the international codes, predominantly the NFL. Like, there's some real similarities between Australian football and NFL football. So particularly around concussion, but that it started in the concussion space, but it went more broadly towards injuries and analytics and how we try and make the game safer for the players. And so when the pandemic kind of turned the world upside down in 2020, we started sharing a lot of information with international codes in that medical realm. So it was AFL, NFL, NBA, NHL, World Rugby, and a few other, FIFA a little bit as well. We started chatting more on how they're managing the virus, how they plan to get the game back. And I think by virtue of Australia's relatively small population, low population density, I mean, we're really good as a nation at kind of keeping virus numbers quite low, that we're able to get the game back relatively quicker compared to kind of the rest of the world, which is why there was a fair bit of interest in Australian football there for a while from overseas. And all of a sudden there was a lot of interest in how we're doing testing and tracing and protocols, et cetera. And we chatted through the year, and in the end of 2020, throughout 2020 rather, it kind of turned into a job opportunity. So at the end of 2020, accepted the job and moved site, got sorted out the visa and moved sight unseen to New York, where the NBA are based. So I'd actually never been to New York before. I was always on the list and thought, you can't turn down that job.
No and way. I bet you thought, when you're thinking about New York, probably just visiting there, not that you'd pack your life up and go live over there. So
did not think that was going to be the case. But it's obviously a crazy city. It's one of the best cities in the world. Pretty wild. It was a pretty interesting time to move there. It was around the time when Trump was, I think, impeached for a second time. A lot of the city was still boarded up. I was able to, as a result, get a pretty good deal at the time on an apartment and move into Manhattan instead of being more out in the burbs. So there were some positives, not many positives, some positives of moving to New York in late 20, early 21. And the NBA were great in terms of onboarding and providing that assistance to move someone over. Yeah, sight unseen, as I said.
So end of 2020, I mean, the pandemic was still, we were really at the heart
right
of it.
In the heart
we
of it.
Were just starting out, really.
And to move from Melbourne, obviously, was in quite a long lockdown at that point, into New York, which was kind of the epicenter of the pandemic in many ways. How was that going into New York, knowing that they were probably a little bit more lax on COVID protocols?
You know what? I probably went in thinking the Aussie approach. I don't want to turn this into a big discussion on the merits of lockdowns and virus kind of protocols, but I probably went in thinking we did a good job. But I think Australia probably only had kind of lockdowns. It was kind of our one wood. That was what we do every time there was. Whereas I think it would never work in the US. They just wouldn't have been compliant, and obviously they had a lot of deaths early. But I think they found a reasonable balance around getting life and the economy back moving again. So my mates went back into lockdown, and I was, we had some restrictions in New York, but I'd led a relatively normal life from sort of 21 onwards. And this was around the time when the NBA, you recall, had that season in the bubble in Orlando. Mm, they literally took over all of Disney World, which was wild. I never saw it, unfortunately, but I was kind of responsible with the team to bring the game back to market, back to the various venues, and then how do we manage that? But I mean, it was about 100 active cases a day that were being managed from a team and player kind of cohort, and we were flying tests all over the country. It was an incredible kind of operation that our team was sort of responsible for. It was really long hours, really intense, but that was kind of why I was brought over there was to help them out and help manage a pretty young team going through, some pretty challenging work.
It must have been a pinch me moment in your career to be, you know, 1 minute in Melbourne, the next minute you're in New York City working for one of the biggest sporting associations in the world.
It was. Mm. It was. And it was certainly pretty wild. So moved over there and it was in the winter, of course. So middle of a blizzard. So I'm in a temp accommodation. I think it was in Chelsea, sort of 27th and 6th, and hammering snow. Mm. And I didn't meet any of my colleagues for the first probably 4 to 5 months until we went to Chicago for the combine. It was the first in-person thing we'd done in a while. So I was trying to get to know and manage, as I said, a pretty young, incredibly bright team who I'd never met before, some of which I'd come in over the top of as well, which is never an easy kind of position to be in. But they were all brilliant. But it was pretty wild, and sitting there in the snow, trudging around. It's like, I'm quite unprepared for this, I suspect.
Yeah. And were you a basketball fan to begin with?
I was. I mean, I never played, but I think like most kids growing up in Australia in the 90s, when Jordan and Pippen and Luke Longley and the Bulls were really flying, I think we all had basketball cards and all pretty focused on. And then it kind of dwindled a little bit in the 2000s. But I mean, it's enormous now. I mean, the athletes are amazing, and they're celebrities in their own right, really. The Stephs and the LeBrons of the world.
Mm. And you obviously got to go to games and
went to plenty of games. Yeah. Like, there's some big advantages. I mean, Madison Square Garden was probably a 10-minute walk from where I was renting my apartment in Lower Manhattan. And the NBA had access to a suite there, and a lot of staff would live outside the city. So on a Monday or Tuesday night, and there's so many games, right? They play 82 games a year. So there's always a game on at either Madison Square or Barclays in Brooklyn, and meant the access was pretty strong
the
to go and
atmosphere too. Just
those Knicks fans are out of control.
Yeah,
they are probably the most bonkers fans I've ever seen.
Yeah,
so good access to that, and also shows and comedy and there's obviously plenty to do in New York.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, like I said, we won't dwell on COVID, but it sounds like that out of COVID, you had a really great opportunity.
Sheepishly, yes. It was horrible and remains horrible for a lot of people. But it certainly provided some opportunities from a professional perspective, for sure.
Wonderful. Well, while you were living away, was there anything that you missed or craved about Adelaide? So probably the sunshine.
Sunshine, certainly. The long winters got pretty tiring. I mean, I was fortunate. I was able to pop home once the country opened up. I mean, I did have to promise the federal government that I wouldn't come home for at least 6 to 12 months.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's like everyone else is trying to repatriate people back to Australia. Yeah. If you're willingly choosing to leave the country, you ain't coming back until the nation resumes a degree of normality. So, certainly missed home, sun, beach, family, wide open spaces. I mean, I'd get out and try and go for a walk or a run along the Hudson to try and get a fresh air, because, concrete jungle gets pretty sweltering in the middle of summer too. So, craved a bit of some trees and an open air, and I tried to get out about as much as I could, but it's not quite on your doorstep like it is back here.
So you're obviously in New York working for the NBA. Many people would probably say that's the pinnacle of someone's, professional career. What lured you back to SA?
So, combination of factors. I mean, first and foremost, it was family. I grew up in Adelaide. Parents were here sort of early 70s and a few challenges. And I mean, it's a long trip. It's probably about a 30, 35, depending on which flight path you go, around a sort of trip to get back home. So kind of felt if I was staying longer, that would kind of, I'd be potentially setting roots down there as well. So it was kind of a bit of a juncture. I'd worked for 2.5 years and managed to sort of climb the ladder a little bit. And I could see it was a very big structure. I could easily stay there for another 10, 15 years. And it's whether I wanted to spend that period of my life in a city. I've seen a lot of friends that have had kids and found it really challenging in the city as well. Then, of course, they inevitably move upstate or outside or back to where they originally came in from, and thought, okay, it's probably time to explore some opportunities to come home, knowing that I had that amazing time. Probably would have been better if I was a bit younger when I went over there, but the opportunity didn't come until I was in my late 30s. So It was a pretty big decision in the end, but one I'd certainly think of. I certainly made the right call there.
Yeah. And did you have your job with the Crows lined up before you came back?
No, it was advertised. Yeah. It was a executive recruitment search. So I was looking back in the AFL industry. Mm. Probably expected to end up back in Melbourne, given that's where the bulk of the clubs and obviously head office is. And then saw the ad and went, wow, that would be, it was kind of the type of role, slightly broader than what I'd done previously at the AFL, and thought it would be the right mix between that kind of legal governance in that management sphere, and thought, look, if this could be a real goer. So yeah, had a few chats to Tim Silvers, the CEO, and a few other colleagues from the AFL, and yeah, managed to roll my way through the process, I guess. So it was very, very fortuitous.
So tell us a bit about your role as COO at the Crows, and what does that involve?
Yeah, it's a pretty wide ranging role, very kind of back of house business services. So it encompasses finance, facilities, IT, legal, governance, risk. But one of the really attractive features, obviously many attractive features of the role, was the new facility build that's been obviously well known in the news for. To be honest, I wasn't really aware of the history of it. I mean, you're kind of following footy from afar overseas, but didn't quite comprehend how many kind of starts and then stops it had across the various locations that they were looking at. So being able to be a pretty key part of being kind of one of the main point people within the club, working with our peer project manager and architects and councils, et cetera, and government to try and help push the project along. It's a really kind of exciting project that doesn't come along very often.
It's a legacy piece.
Is a genuine legacy piece. So, I mean, clearly the job was really attractive anyway, but that was like, wow, this is kind of plays a little bit to the background of the technical engineering project management type stuff. Not that I've ever had managed a project of this nature.
And so that's Thebe Oval. It's obviously the big project you're referring to. How is it progressing? What's the next steps for the footy club to get there?
So we had a couple of key milestones. Obviously, managed to secure state government funding sort of late last year. It was actually announced by Premier at our best and fairest, which was very timely. And then literally the last working day of the year, we signed lease agreements with the City of West Torrens. So we've been able to secure that lease. So we're now the team are furiously finishing off detailed design development, and then we'll go out to the market, start to tender for all the various services, et cetera. And we're hoping to start turning soil middle of the year with a sort of 2026, mid-late 26 sort of timeframe for completion. So yeah, it's still a long way to go, long road, but we're making some steady strides now, which is great.
What was it like moving back to Adelaide, and how did the city change while you were away?
Yeah, it's fair to say it was a change. I think it would have been a change moving back from Melbourne after 20-odd years, let alone, Melbourne and a short time overseas. What I did immediately notice, I mean, look, the charms a lot of Adelaide has remained the same in terms of, beaches, lifestyle, et cetera. But certainly the restaurant scene and the bar scene has, I mean, I left in 2005, 2006, something like that. So it was a while ago. Yeah, that's come on markedly, a bit of a foodie tool, and enjoy going eating out at restaurants, etc. So there's a few new kind of favorite haunts I've got since I've been back, and that's come on leaps and bounds. And I think it's certainly also trending in a great direction around events. And I mean, I haven't experienced the Fringe in a long time, so looking forward to that. Went to pretty much within the first couple of weeks I came back was Gather Round and Live Golf. I was like, this is definitely not what I remember from when I left 20-odd years ago. And if we can have a lot of these types of events, it genuinely keeps, I mean, Live Golf won a few awards in terms of golf events. It was the closest, as a golf guy, closest I'd seen to a PGA tournament outside of the US. It was a really, really phenomenal event. So I think those types of things have certainly changed. And I think it's a great strength to be able to draw those to the state.
Yeah. And I think we've spoken about this on another chat we were having around the impact Adelaide Oval has had on the city, and getting footy to Adelaide Oval, I think, kind of was
enormous. Yeah,
and the footbridge and what that did in terms of it brought people into the city more, which then obviously helped in terms of more bars and restaurants. So Yes, it always comes back to footy, doesn't
it? Yeah, everything leads remains, to you're correct.
This is what I've been trying to tell everybody for years.
Yeah. Great. Having spent a lot of time in Melbourne and a bit of time overseas, how does Adelaide compare to other international cities? What do you think our strengths are?
You wouldn't want to compare it to a city that has 5 to 10 times or 20 times the population. Mm. Like, I think it's got huge features that make it a really unique an amazing city. I mean, it's a 20-minute kind of lifestyle city. You've got beach, hills. I still think some of them are probably very biased, but they're kind of the best wine in the world as well. They drank a lot of poor wine overseas, and the price point was often 4 or 5 times as much as well. So, and clearly the food scene, the dining scene has improved out of sight. So, I mean, it's very rare you have a city that has this population but has all those features. And so that's what we are selling and what we should be selling for this state. But you're not going to be able to compare it to a Melbourne or Sydney just from population alone and what that can bring. So, no, it's a phenomenal city.
On that, what needs to improve or change for Adelaide to reach its full potential, do you think?
Oh, look, I wouldn't say there's probably significant change. I think it genuinely seems to be on the right path. I think just when you mentioned Adelaide Oval and how long that took, continue to shake that kind of NIMBY tag, because there's always a lot of resistance to development and change. I think history would show most of them are typically, particularly in that sporting domain, particularly kind of positive features that generate huge flow-on impacts for the city. So I think, the current Malaska's government is doing a great job, and then I think probably previous governments have as well. I've just been less kind of aware of it. I think on the right path to continue to drag interest and capital and tourists into the state, and obviously Gather Round in iteration 2 will be another great example of that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think something, again, we've spoken on some other chats is we've got, you know, Tonsley, the biomed precinct, we've got all these other things happening too. So that's all sort of bubbling away. And then, we're landing these amazing sporting, festivals and events as well. So, I think there's a lot really exciting happening here. So watch this space, everyone, is what I'll say.
Yeah. And it's choice. I mean, I'm just thinking your background, obviously you did engineering and law. And, back in the day, if you did engineering, you ended up in engineering and that was it. And you just, go and have your career. Whereas I think there's variety in choice when it comes to jobs in Adelaide now. You can actually, you may move away for a bit, go and get some more skills, go and get some experience, but you're able to come back to Adelaide, build on that and still have a really good career, which I think you're a really good example of.
Hopefully, yeah, and I agree. I mean, there's probably lacked awareness as well. I mean, parents are both, we're now retired doctors, and, very straight line in terms of you go to med school and you get a job, and I was probably in the same mode of thinking around you. Either you do engineering or you get an engineering job or law and you get a legal job. But, I mean, I think most people now have 4 to 5 careers, 4 to 5 jobs rather in their career at least. So, I think it shows there are jobs out there. I mean, if you find an area that you're interested in, hopefully the opportunities and put yourself out, the opportunities will kind of come your way.
Great.
Yeah. Well, I think that takes us to the end of the serious questions, but we might jump into some of those fun ones that we mentioned before. So I might go first with this one. You said it was going to be very short. So can we ask what footy team do you barrack for?
So obviously work for the Crows, but I did indeed support the Crows when I was growing up. That probably dwindled a touch when I was at the AFL because I was working in footy ops. And had to be, it was kind of the joke was you support the umpires when you work in the AFL and footy ops. Because when you're involved in suspending players, you need to be seen and be very, very neutral. But no, I haven't been a Crows guy.
That's what we like to hear.
Being a Port supporter, I'm not sure I'm too happy with that answer. But anyway, how about what NBA team do you?
So I was Knicks.
Yeah.
Again, that's right. I'd like to follow the Aussies around. So
yeah.
There's a few, obviously, Paddy and Josh has had a good start to his career, albeit some challenges lately, but he's a super player and a super kid. So follow the Aussies around, but, hard to not follow the Knicks when you're in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when in Rome, as they say.
Exactly.
What do you get up to on the weekend? What would your normal Saturday look like?
These days, I'm trying to get back into some golf. That probably suffered. I was never particularly good, but in the process of joining a club here and trying to play a bit more. Obviously, during footy season, there's a game on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday that home games and some away games to attend to. A lot of the outdoorsy runs along the beach, runs in the hills, and then hopefully some golf, and then popping back to Melbourne every now and then to catch up with the mates.
Favorite Adelaide restaurant or cafe?
So the ones I've been really impressed with since I've been back is Fugazzi and Shibosho and Shosho. Big fan of, yeah, and Fugazzi is a proper classic kind of New York style fit out, which is it genuinely is pretty comparable to a lot you get over there. And yeah, Japanese food is amazing. And Shibosho is a brilliant place. So yeah. they're the two, but always on the lookout for new restaurants and open to any recommendations.
They're two great ones. Actually, what we should do, because it's a question we're asking most people, is we should just collate all of them, and yeah, we can put out a top 10 or a short list.
I'd definitely subscribe to that.
So what's your favourite SA getaway destination if you had to pick?
Yeah, so massive fan of Coffin Bay. We've got our community camp coming up in Port Lincoln in next week, but I've also got another trip booked there with a couple of mates in early March. Just love the oysters and the pretty sort of wild, open, windswept beaches and the sand dunes out there. It's kind of, there's not many other places like it. So that's only been there once, once as an adult, once as a child rather. And yeah, really keen to get back.
Favourite Adelaide event or festival?
So from a footy point of view, obviously Gather Round, hard to pass that up. But as I mentioned, LIV Golf was unreal as a golf guy to see the likes of Phil and Phil Mickelson and Cameron Smith and now with John Rahm joining as well. I'll definitely be in attendance again at Grange this year. Very sort of, straight-laced kind of sport-related answer, but it really is a great event.
Yeah, you can't really beat the party hole. That was incredible.
No, I was unfortunately on the 18th at the time when the hole-in-one went in, so I wasn't on the hole, but it was, it's genuinely comparable to kind of the hole that it's based on at the Waste Management Open over in Phoenix. It's alarmingly similar.
I wonder if Bert will be back or some other kind of comedian.
Well, Fisher is the DJ for, I think, Saturday night. So, it was epic. So looking forward to it again this year. Number one tip for someone moving back to Adelaide?
Oh, I think just get out and explore. We've got a couple of guys from the club that had most of their career in Victoria, and I think the perception of Adelaide can be a little negative at times, but they've been stunned by what's out there. And I think it's just kind of get out and explore the state. There's, as I mentioned, with Coffin Bay, and there's a whole bunch of other destinations that we have. And so let's harness the positives that are there, which there are many, and get out and enjoy, because there is a lot to see and do in the state. Mm.
And the accessibility too, like, you said, we can go 20 minutes.
20-minute lifestyle city, absolutely.
End up in Harmdorf and just be in a completely different place, in the world. Well, it feels like that way anyway, so.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Patrick. It's been great to have you in the studio and learning more about your journey back to SA.
No, thanks very much for having me.
Thanks.
Find out more about the Adelaide Connected program, including upcoming networking events, visit adelaideconnected.com.au. You can also leave a comment on Spotify or find us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X.